Save big on your landscape project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our interlock edgers on sale now through March 22nd. Save big on landscape block at Menards. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. The story happened in the fall of 2017. My name is Nadia, and I was 27 years old back then. I live in Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania, with my two friends Nicole and Christina. We rented a house together and shared the same car, which was a 2009 Lexus. My friends and I are very close and are like sisters. This arrangement would not have worked any other way. One day we wanted to go on a road trip together, so we decided to drive from Drexel Hill to another town called Butler. At first, things were going pretty well. Along the way, we would make stops to explore the countryside, take pictures, and enjoy the scenery. It was fall, and it got dark pretty quick. On top of that, our gas-guzzling V8 needed a refill, so we had no choice but to stop at a gas station. We spotted one in the middle of nowhere. Visually, this gas station looked creepy as hell. I thought it might have been abandoned when I first saw it. We pulled up next to a gas pump, and I was about to start filling the tank when a beat-up white van with tinted windows pulled into the gas station parking lot. As soon as I saw it, I immediately got a bad feeling. Christina had to go into the convenience store to use the bathroom.
"Do you really have to go? This place looks sketchy as hell. It's an emergency. There's no need to be paranoid. I'll be quick."
"All right, just hurry up. Don't waste your time scrolling through your phone like you always do."
Christina then went inside the store. As soon as she did, the driver exited the white van and followed her inside. My spidey sense told me that something was about to go down, so I decided to go inside as well. As soon as I walked in, I heard Christina screaming. The driver of the van was dragging Christina to what looked like a back door. I quickly got out my pocket knife and stabbed the man in the back. The man screamed and let go of Christina. I used the opportunity to grab Christina's hand and pull her to her feet. The man staggered and struggled to pull the knife out of his back. He was so angry that his face was red. He then let out a shout of pure rage.
Save big money on your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
And chased us out of the store. Luckily for us, we were able to make it back to the car. I put it into drive and drove out of there as quickly as possible. In my rearview mirror, I saw the white van from before pull out of the gas station parking lot and began to follow us. Fortunately for us, our Lexus had a more capable engine, so I put the pedal to the floor and we eventually lost him. His busted up kidnap mobile wasn't able to keep up. We went to the police station to file a report, but we never heard anything back. There were no employees present when all of this went down inside the store. and this was definitely the kind of place that may or may not have working security cameras. We were all pretty shaken up about this. It's not every day that you see one of your best friends literally being dragged away by a stranger. But thankfully, I was able to intervene and save her. This story happened to me when I was only 10 years old. I grew up in a popular suburb of Phoenix, Arizona. We lived in the third house on a street that was just off the neighborhood's main road. My house had an enclosed front porch with a basketball hoop and a bike rack. One day I was home by myself and decided to go to the local park. This was probably around 4 p.m. or so. At this time, our neighborhood wasn't fully developed, so having a lot of traffic wasn't common. My sister and I have always been paranoid about sketchy white vans because of the programs they showed us at school. So when I noticed one cruising down the main road, I thought it was strange, but I figured it might have been a construction worker, and continued. I was one of those kids who would ride his bike around, just to explore the area, so I was never too worried in my neighborhood. If someone did come after me, I knew all the best routes to lose someone. Anyways, I took my usual path, and went down a side street, through a cul-de-sac, instead of the main road. When I arrived at the park, I noticed another neighborhood kid named Parker, who was in the open field next to the playground. After a while of hanging out with him, I figured that my parents would probably be home from work by now. When I first left the park, I realized I had forgotten my water bottle. It was a tin Spider-Man water bottle, and that was a big deal to 10-year-old me. There was no way I was leaving that behind. After turning around, I was soon back at the hilltop, overlooking the playground and the field. Parker was nowhere to be seen. I had been gone for maybe 30 seconds. I then saw the white van from before, parked on the side of the road near the playground. My heart sank once I saw Parker's bike lying on the ground next to the van, with one of its wheels still turning. I froze up. I was pretty sure whoever was driving the van saw me. I quickly turned around and sped down the sidewalk and booked it home. Once I got back to my house, I made sure I didn't leave my bicycle by the front door or the porch. Instead, I threw it over the back gate so it wouldn't be visible from the road. After this, I rushed inside and locked the door. I was covered head to toe in sweat. After about 20 seconds of catching my breath, I decided to peer out through the peephole. And for a split second, my heart stopped. I could see the white van slowly making its way down the main road, driving past my street and out of sight. Now, at the time, I thought that Parker had been kidnapped and the white van was now hunting for me. And even now, I don't think that was an unreasonable conclusion to come to. But I would be lying to you if I said that there were reports of a missing child, and the police were called in to investigate, and my parents had to stand next to me while I told a detective what I saw. But the truth is, I never saw Parker being pulled into the van. It is entirely possible that the driver could have said something to him, and he got scared and ran off without his bike. That wouldn't have made front page news, but I still feel like I would have heard about it. Honestly, I didn't know Parker that well. I saw him around the park sometimes, but I wouldn't say that we were friends. Point being, he could have moved away, or might have just been visiting. And as creepy as it was seeing that white van slowly driving down the road, it's unlikely they would be driving like that after just having kidnapped a child. I don't know what happened to Parker, because after that day, I never saw him or that white van ever again. The lesson here is to always be aware of your surroundings and to teach your kids to do the same, because you never know what could happen, even in the places where you feel the safest. I'm 19 and currently attending university. This encounter happened to me when I was in secondary school, around age 14 or 15. It was an IT lesson, so you know I was doing the usual, playing games and messing around with Instant Messenger, until the class was interrupted by two police officers. After the excitement died down, they proceeded to tell us that we needed to be careful. There was reports of a middle-aged man driving around this area in a white Toyota van, harassing girls around our age and telling them to come for a ride. A few days had passed since the police warned us. I would usually finish up at around 2:35 p.m., but I decided to stay later that day to catch up on some homework. So I left school around 4 p.m. Of course, when I got to the bus station, it had already left. The bus driver was a real jackass. So I decided to walk home. If only I had known what was going to happen that day, I would have called my mom to come pick me up. I would say the walk home was about 30 minutes. I was about 3/4 of the way home when I reached this long stretch of road that ran through a few fields with a small path alongside for bikes. This road was dark and had no streetlights. Since it was winter, it was already dark by this point. I was about halfway down the road. A few cars had passed me, but no big deal. That's when I saw some headlights approaching me. I didn't take much notice at first, as I assumed it was another passerby. That's when I see a white Toyota van slowly pass me and pull into a driveway that led to a farmhouse. This was about 200 meters in front of me, so I ended up walking past the van. I'm obviously on high alert by now. I hear the door swing open, and I turn around to see this tall, sketchy-looking man stepping out of the van and just stands there, staring at me. At this point, I'm ready to get the hell out of there, and I sprint to either the next farmhouse or the end of the road. But I quickly realized that these two options may be too far out of reach. I turn around again to see the man coming toward me. I bolted it as fast as possible. I was wearing one of those stupid pencil skirts we had to wear. I could hear the man running behind me. He was fast, too. The road was veering to the right. As soon as I got around the bend, I was out of sight for a few seconds. I literally threw myself into this large bramble bush and sat there hiding and waiting. A few moments go by, and he's nowhere to be seen. I was sure that he was right behind me, so after about 10 to 15 minutes, I thought it was safe to pull myself out of the bush. I was covered in scratches and scrapes. At the time, I didn't care. My main priority was hiding. I began walking down the road again. I was nearing the streetlights and my neighborhood, so I thought I would be okay. Until I saw the white van pass me again. I sprinted all the way back home, and as I got onto my road, I saw him passing by again, this time in the opposite direction. As soon as I got back, I told my parents, and they called the police and reported it. They didn't find him that night, but he was arrested a few days later, lurking outside our school, attempting to talk to the girl students again. I assume he was convicted, as I've never seen him again. Sometimes I still wonder what was going through his mind that night, and what would have happened if he got a hold of me. What exactly were his intentions? I think I know the answer, but it still makes my skin crawl. When I was a kid, I was hanging out at this place called the Pinecone Forest, which is what the neighborhood kids would call the small patch of trees on the side of the road. I was picking bark off one of the trees to pass the time, waiting for my friend Frankie to finish his homework so we could play together. Out of nowhere, it seemed, a man came up to me. I could smell him before I saw him. He reeked of stale cigarette smoke. I was a bit scared to even look at him. He wasn't very old, but one of his eyes was cloudy, and his teeth and fingernails were stained yellow. My mom taught me to be nice to people, so I faked a smile and said hello. "What you doing?" The smell of his breath was the worst.
I'm picking bark off this tree."
"You shouldn't do that. That's like picking off a tree's skin. How would you feel if somebody peeled off your skin?" He said this while lightly pinching my arm with his sharp yellow fingernails.
"I don't know,"
I replied and took my arm back. Just then, Frankie's mother called me to the door and told me to come and wait inside. I didn't think anything of the whole thing at the time. Yesterday, when I was visiting my sister's house with my mom, watching my son and nephews play around in the yard, I remembered this encounter and brought it up to my mom. She had this look of, I don't know, guilt maybe? She said it was probably time that I knew the whole story. She thought I had forgotten about the whole encounter, so she never brought it up to me. First, you should know that the neighborhood I grew up in is a small, tight-knit community. Everyone knew everyone there, and there was no reason for an outsider to be there, unless they were visiting someone. Anyway, this is what happened. Frankie's mom, Sonia, noticed a white van with no windows parked on the side of the road. She didn't recognize it, but figured that it was someone visiting one of her neighbors. Sonia later told the police that the van had been there all morning and afternoon. She was kind of keeping an eye on it. She said it gave her a bad feeling. Her house had a huge window in front, facing the pine cone forest, and the van was parked next to it. She saw me waiting for Frankie and kept a constant eye on the van while holding the phone just in case. She then saw the man exit the back of the van and walk up to me. As soon as she saw him grabbing my arm, she called the cops right away. It was then that she told me to come inside. The cops stopped the man outside the neighborhood. In the back of his van were binoculars, a Polaroid camera, and pictures of me taped all over the walls and ceiling. The photos were of me at school, my grandparents' house, at the bank with my mom. But the story doesn't end there. He had a key to a storage unit on him. Inside the unit, they found a cabinet full of knives. And I'm talking about a lot of knives in all shapes and sizes. There was also a few books on the human anatomy, obstetrical equipment, duct tape, and 10 empty 5-gallon buckets. In the middle of this unit was an old bed that was used to restrain mental patients, so it had wrist and ankle straps. The entire inside of the unit was covered in plastic wrapping. Last my mom heard about him, he was locked away in a high-security mental institution for the criminally insane.
As a background, I grew up in the suburbs of Sacramento, California, in an area that was very middle class and a place where it always felt safe. As a kid, I would walk home from school with the neighbors. We would play hide-and-go-seek, basketball on the streets, etc., and we never had any strange encounters. I am currently a 30-year-old male, and it is weird to think about this story. During the weekends when I was a teenager, I would ride my bike for hours at a time and ride around a 10-block radius from where my house was. In Sacramento, we typically had good weather in the spring, and a lot of the days were mild temperature, with a decent amount of clear skies and sunlight. I'm a pretty introverted individual, and also pretty naive to things around me. I vividly remember one time when I was 13 years old and riding my bike in the neighborhood. I had a speedometer on my bike, and I always traveled around 12 to 16 miles per hour in the right-hand side bike lane of the street. While I was cruising on my bike, a windowless white van pulled up next to me on my left and matched my speed. I remember glancing over and thinking nothing of this, since it is a neighborhood street, and it would be weird if a van blazed by me at 35 miles per hour. Within a few seconds of the van matching my speed, the right side door slid open, and there were two guys in the back and one guy driving. I look over, and the van got uncomfortably close to me, and one of the guys said quite loudly, "Get in the van." I didn't reply, but started pedaling faster and reached about 18 miles per hour, which I know isn't very fast compared to a van, and isn't going to get away from the van, but it seemed like the right thing to do at the time. The van accelerated to match my speed, and I looked over at them. The van was weird on the inside. I remember seeing no seats in the back. The two guys were not seatbelted in. I remember seeing the metal flooring of the van and some rope. The guy beckoned, maybe in more of an insisting tone, to get inside his van. He reached out, since I was within arm's distance. At this time, we were traveling straight, but literally just as he was reaching out, the road we were on intersected with another street that I instinctively turned a hard right onto. They were forced to keep going straight, otherwise they would have flipped the van to follow me. I knew the area well, and started weaving in between the residential streets that consisted of lots of curved roads that looped and resembled a maze. In hindsight, it was scary to be in that area because they could have easily found me, as I couldn't have seen them coming up on me because of the curved roads, but luckily they didn't make another pass. Nowadays I look back and wonder what they had intended to do. Were they just goofing around? Were the ropes just for belaying and rock climbing, or did they actually have a malicious intent? Did they ever do anything to anyone else who couldn't get away? These questions still linger with me. I went home and never told anyone about it. To this day, only two people know about this, and now you. This happened to me when I was in high school. My family was going through some tough times, and my mom and I would get into fights about money and social life. I felt I was doing more than enough for my age at that time, 16, going to school, working, giving her my paycheck for bills, and I was upset I wasn't allowed to go out on whatever little time off I did have. On her side, she felt that me going out would distract me from school, work, and I would pick up vices. One night, I got home from work, and after a particularly heated argument, I couldn't take it anymore and just left the house. I didn't have a plan as to what I was going to do. In my mind, I just wanted to get away from my responsibilities. So I just started walking with no specific destination. I ended up walking for 2 hours. Despite walking for so long, though, I was only about 15 minutes from home because I was going in circles. By that time, it was 1 a.m. and I was walking on a sidewalk when a van pulled up in front of me and stopped on the side of the road. Now, this was on a populated area, on a 3-lane road just near the expressway, and there was mild traffic, so I didn't give it much thought. As I got closer to the van, though, I see that the driver rolls down the passenger side window and is looking at me through the side mirror. Still, I didn't think anything of it. Maybe somebody was lost trying to get directions. Now I'm right by the passenger door and the man calls me over. He said he was lost and was trying to get directions to the expressway. This is when I started feeling this wasn't right. The signs for the expressway were all around and the expressway was literally 2 blocks away. My mind started racing. I literally pointed at the expressway, which was within sight, and started to walk away when he started following me and asked me where I was going and if I needed a ride. At this point, I'm regretting not having gone home already. I turn towards the man and tell him that I don't need a ride, but thanks for offering, and start walking away faster. The man doesn't say anything and starts driving away, but as he passes me, I can see that he was looking at me through the side mirror again. Seeing him drive away, I started feeling relieved, but then instead of him going straight towards the expressway, he takes a right turn and goes down the street. Now I'm freaking out. I start thinking that I might go all the way around the block just to get back on the main road and come engage me again. So as soon as I see his van go out of sight, I book it to the building that was to my right and hide behind some bushes. The building had a bunch of offices and I could see there was a lawyer's office, dentist's office, and other small businesses. I lay down on the ground and just waited. A couple of minutes pass, and through a small gap in the bushes, I see his van rolling up towards the main road. The man had done as I thought. He went around the block just to get back on the main road. I saw him driving slowly as he was looking for me, and then I saw him take that right turn again. I knew for sure he was looking for me again. Now, after a few minutes, his van shows up again, but it is driving slower and comes to a stop in front of the office building. After a few tense seconds in which I thought he would get out of the vehicle to check the area, he started to drive away. The whole time I was hiding behind the bushes, I was freaking out, knowing a stranger was actively searching for me. I waited about 5 minutes after I saw his vehicle drive off, and I took off running home. To this day, I don't know what his intentions might have been, but I believe in intuition, and mine told me that his motives were sinister. Last summer at approximately 3 a.m., I was returning home to my apartment in the sleeping district of Vilnius, Lithuania. Vilnius is a compact, neat town of about 500,000 people, and whatever nightlife there is, it happens only in the central district called the Old Town. Large suburbs full of Soviet concrete blocks can seem abandoned at night. My home is within a walking distance from the center, so for me it is completely normal to return home on foot, even at night. So I was walking down the completely empty street, enjoying fresh nighttime air. Only occasionally I could see a car, almost always a taxi, and it was dead silence around. Then this white van appeared. I saw it quite far away, cruising at a slow speed in the first lane, as if observing something. Then it steered into smaller lateral streets and stopped between two large blocks of flats some 50 meters from me. The van itself was old, beaten up and rusty. Similar ones are often used by small construction and relocation companies, only this one had no markings on it. The first door opened and out came a man in his 40s or 50s wearing non-specific clothes, jeans and some dark jacket. For several seconds he looked around cautiously, but I was too far away and in a non-illuminated area, so he either didn't notice or paid no attention to me. He ran around the van and stopped in front of a large old metal box that was fixed to the wall of a house nearby. You can see those boxes near all Soviet-era buildings, and I assume they contain distribution boards or some other electric equipment. As far as I know, those boxes are always locked. The van was blocking the box so that you couldn't see it from the street, but I was at a lucky angle and able to observe what happened. For a second or two, the man fiddled with the lock, opened the door, and took something out. Then he locked it and hastily ran back into the van, closing the rear door as the van was already moving. It slowly picked up speed and drove away. At this moment I remembered that it's not the first time I've seen this van. I actually saw it a lot at night, slowly driving around sleeping districts of Vilnius. I never paid attention to it, but still remembered it because there are very few cars at night. Strange, I thought. I told the story to several buddies and we had a good laugh making up stories about secret drug distribution networks, spy messages and stuff. I almost forgot it until last week. It was around 9:30 p.m. I was walking along the street separating the old town from the new town, right by the store belonging to large supermarket chains. There was a metal box on the wall. It was open and a middle-aged man in builder uniform belonging to some construction company was squatting near it. When I noticed him, his hands were elbow deep in the box. A woman of similar age wearing a uniform of the supermarket chain was standing nearby, looking at the man. There were a lot of people in the street, but at the time, I was the only one within listening distance of the two. Probably they were talking before I came near and I could overhear the last words of the conversation. "So, they are coming to take it every night?" said the man. "Aga," the woman answered. It was Russian for, uh-huh. The question was in Lithuanian, but since Vilnius has large Russian minority, bilingual conversations are somewhat commonplace. The man closed the box and locked it with a small, cheap-looking lock. Then they noticed me. The woman glanced at me rather angrily, turned around and disappeared between the doors of the store. The man walked away in the other direction. There was no goodbye. It looked as if though I disturbed them and they did not want to be seen here. I honestly don't know what it's all about, but I had several ideas. The most realistic one is that there is some low-level illegal stuff going on, such as people paying local criminals for protection by leaving money inside specific electricity distribution boards while thugs come and pick it up at night. But I clearly remember a builder man saying every night, which seems strange. Maybe people were stealing something. Money, goods, from their own workplaces and metal boxes and shady vans or some underground distribution and exchange network. I don't know, but any ideas would be helpful.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.